Welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and I am joined today by James Murphy. James, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm glad we have some real football to recap.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I think I talked about it last week, but just like after doing like preview stuff for like the last 2 months, it felt so nice just to have like actual football again.
Right. Just we could talk as much about what might be or what might not be as much as we want, but nothing beats just watching what happens unfold on 100 yards, or could you say 120 yards if you count the end zones?
Semantics.
Right, semantics. The point is to just see it happen for 3 hours and be able to take from that is just, it's nice. We have substance, finally.
It's just nice to be able to have takes again.
Yeah, and even if they're overreactions or proper reactions, which we'll get into later. It's just nice to be able to do.
I was going to try to make an Arch Manning joke there. I just couldn't make it come together.
It'll come to you.
Much like a lot of his passes, it fell incomplete.
See? There, that's a step forward.
Yeah, there we go. But yes, so we're coming off an interesting weekend. Not only was it the opening weekend of college football, I made the trip down to Hattiesburg, and if you can't tell by my voice, I'm still under the weather from that whole ordeal. But I come back with some takeaways, and that's also, usually I'd like to try to get this podcast out earlier in the week, but then we had Labor Day, and again, I have been ill all week. This is the first time I've ever felt all week comfortable with talking, at the very least. You know, I don't want y'all to have to listen to a bunch of like cough sounds and stuff. And yeah, anyway. And my overall takeaway from State Southern Miss was that was fine. It was a nice like 7 out of 10, right? I think you got a lot of, or at least some of what you wanted to see out of Mississippi State. Certainly my big thing was, you know, will the defense have a pulse this year? And they certainly proved that, especially in the second half. You know, I mean, shoot, just looking at the point total, 17 points is a great start compared to what they were dealing with last year, right? So, you know, that was really good. I think they looked just a lot better on defense. I think they were stronger up front. You know, granted, I don't know, the whole matchup was weird because it was, you know, Southern Miss was so unknown that they didn't even unveil a depth chart for this game leading up to it. And there was just so much roster turnover on Southern Miss. And on Mississippi State, too. But, yeah, look, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't an overwhelmingly positive game from Mississippi State. It looked pretty rough at halftime. But second half was a lot more encouraging. But I think they're going to have to ramp it up and ramp it up really quickly here.
They are. I think a lot of the defensive effort goes back to the depth that I think they established. We mentioned how they just took a bunch of transfers from a bunch of different places just to make sure that they have fresh bodies at the line of scrimmage and around the front seven to make sure that they can consistently generate pressure and be able to win the line of scrimmage and things like that. And I think we were able to see that combined with, you know, Jeff Lebby also talked about, you know, there being more urgency and togetherness and better communication with the unit. And I think you saw that. You know, I mean, even like that last touchdown they allowed was in garbage time. Like they had completely taken their foot off the brake. I think, you know, outside of the one touchdown earlier and which was, I think, on like some kind of, what was it? I don't think it was a deflection, but it was
No, it was the weird, yeah, no, it was the weird little deflection play.
Okay, it was a deflection, and then like he landed just on the goal line. But look, it was hard for Mississippi State to do much worse than it did last season, but it still had to do it. And so far to start the season, they have. You know, I don't, I mean, even in the wins, outside of Eastern Kentucky, I don't know if they held many, if anybody, to under, what, 20 points?
Yeah, I think I have to double check. I know that they did decently well against, Ole Miss. But, yeah, I think, because I think I wrote on Saturday that outside of Eastern Kentucky, both the points and the yardage would have been season bests last year. And you can find a couple charts I made yesterday. They're basically the same chart, but with different stats. Mm-hmm. Where by EPA per play under Jeff Levy, it was there, not counting Eastern Kentucky. It was their best or their second best game by EPA per play under Jeff Levy. And then by success rate, it was their best. And to me, the success rate is kind of what I care more about, because generally speaking, it's pretty reliable. If you're doing well down to down, generally speaking, you're going to be fine. Yeah, you know, explosives happen, but if you're consistent enough, you know, usually the explosives are random. So if you can just kind of keep the success rate up high, you're doing all right.
Right. All this to say, they have at least shown signs of improvement. Now, whether or not it sticks against the gauntlet of a schedule that they still have ahead of them remains to be seen. But another thing that stood out to me, I know a big thing for Mississippi State was getting the ball to the right people. And the right person, like, might be different from game to game. I like what I saw from the two running backs, Devon Booth and Fluff Bothwell. It just seemed like every time they had the ball, they were able to get something. Booth averaged about 5 yards a carry. Bothwell, 4.3 yards a carry. That's pretty good. If you're able to just kind of keep that consistent 1-2 punch and just keep the offense moving forward. I mean, there were some good receiving plays. Torre, Thompson, Evans, but I feel like Booth and Bothwell just kind of, I don't know, I guess they stood out just a little bit more, because I felt like every time they got the ball, they were able to do at the very least something productive. I think that's a promising sign.
Yeah, I thought the ground game looked pretty decent, especially second half. They come out of halftime, and I think they scored on a touchdown on their first three drives in the second half. And then it was just all of a sudden, you know, halftime, it was, this game is ugly and a slog and, oh God, you know, we suck again. Right. I'm not saying we, though, you know, it's the, yeah. And then,
we.
Yeah, exactly.
We shout out Uncle Phil anyway.
But then second half, yeah, they put up 3 touchdowns, and it was just like that. It was, oh, this is what this game was supposed to be. Also, I am going to give myself a little bit of a hat tip. My folks were asking me what I thought of or how I thought the game was going to go earlier in the week, and I responded, State by 17, pull away in the second half. And I think that was... yeah, bang on.
I'm trying to figure out a way we can incorporate the full name Brendan Farrell and Nostradamus. Is there a way to work Nostradamus in there that's like smooth? I feel like that's a little bit tough to do.
I don't know. No ball Stradamus.
Here's what. I believe Brendan Farrell is worthy of the No Ball Peace Prize.
Yeah, there you go. But no, usually I'm not a very good predictor. I'm very good at jinxing things, though.
Well, maybe that's changing.
Hopefully. Also, I want to point out Will Whitson, the Coastal Carolina transfer. I mentioned him in my story the other day. I believe he got SEC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yep, he shared it with Ole Miss's Xavier Harris.
Nice. Just want to throw that out there. Yeah, again, I thought... Mississippi State's sort of rebuilt defensive line looked a lot better. I still think they need to do more on the pass rush side of things, because I believe Whitson had the only sack of the day.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, I mean, Braylon Braxton's a pretty mobile guy. I think they did manage to bring some pressure, but, you know, I think you need to see more out of that unit.
He was their offense, Breelon Braxton.
Yes, they built an entire plane out of him.
Yeah, I was about to say, like that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think it was fine. James, you will be there on Saturday.
Yes, I will.
Mississippi State hosts Arizona State. Please pray for Arizona State as they try to bus in from like 2 hours away to try to get away from casinos or whatever.
Right. They're going to be in, I forget what the whole thing was, because it's like there's not a hotel nearby. And it's like, is it that there's not a hotel nearby, or there's not a hotel that can fit 100 people flying across the country? I just think that there's some details here that weren't ironed out, because there are hotels in Starkville, but is it just a matter of, can they not accommodate? Did you want like a different breakfast thing that they couldn't give you? You guys want an omelet bar? I don't know. Just feel like there are a lot of details being left out.
I think sometimes these teams try to stay a little further away from town, but yeah, I just thought that was weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Like an hour and a half. Wait, hour and a half. What are they going to be in, like Brinsey? Where are they going to be?
Are they staying up here?
I don't know. He just said like that an hour and a half. That could be in any direction.
I don't know. Maybe they fly into Memphis and then bust a Tupelo for the night. I don't know.
Oh, please.
But, yeah, between that and the clip of the cowbell practice the other day, it's been a weird, weird game week.
So, sorry, if we could just take a moment. Those were not cowbells. Those were dinner bells. Those were poor excuses for cowbells.
Look, I understand that they don't have 30,000 staffers that they can just station there while clanging cowbells. But yeah, from what I saw from that clip, that's not going to cut it.
Those are the bells that SpongeBob rang so that he could get more of those. What were those shakes where he was like shaking it and it's just like, oh, waiter.
Oh, it's like the ice cream from, no?
The ice cream thing, yeah, but doesn't he ring a bell to get it?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. It's been a while since I've seen that. But yeah, you're going to be there. What do you think of the matchup?
I'm interested. Am I expecting some? Am I going to put my stamp down and say I expect something shocking for Mississippi State to shock the world? Not necessarily. Do I think that they have more of the tools to do it than we thought maybe 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I think so. Look, Arizona State is good. They do still have a lot of playmakers. Sam Levitt, Jordan Tyson come to mind. The run game's going to be good. The defensive line's still going to be good, especially the run defense. But you're asking a team out in the out west, and I know it's hot in Arizona, but dry heat to humid heat is not an easy transition. Anyone who goes from like that general area down to the southeast has a hard time. I got Kenny Dillingham on line one if you want to debate that. Anyway, you got him doing that. You're going to have him coming to Davis Wade at night with the cowbells that are going to be going nuts. And I think Mississippi State can feed off of that to at least make it a game early. And at the very least, kind of look at it and see how far they have to go in order to hang around more with a team like Arizona State. I do. Obviously, there's some stuff that they've got to work on. They know that. I think when I went down to Starkville for the press conference on Monday, you know, the big thing was we got a lot to work on. They had 14 penalties that cost them 119 yards. They had that turnover. There was just a lot of mistakes here and there, and they know they have to clean it up. And if they do, and they play better than they did against Southern Miss, it could be exciting.
Yeah, I just want to point out that I was trying to think of comps for teams coming out from out west to down south. And I know we've talked about a couple examples before. I'm going to throw another one out there. How about Cal going into Auburn last year and beating Auburn 21-14?
Okay, true, but also Hugh Freeze.
Yes, but I just want to point out that they did not melt in the presumed early September heat of Auburn.
The woke agenda is immune to such things, Brendan. You should know this.
Yes. Well, actually, no, they're not, because they're very aware of climate change.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so I understand what you're putting down there, though. By Bill Connolly's SP Plus, the projection for this game is 32-22 in favor of Arizona State. And he's giving the Sun Devils a 73% chance to win.
That's pretty fair. That is pretty fair. Again, I do still think there's a lot of pieces for Arizona State, a team that, you know, you could argue could win the Big 12 again. Now, granted, the Big 12 is there's a lot of teams that you could argue that win it. Like, I think one of the spots in last year's title game came down to like the second or third tiebreaker between three teams or something like that.
The Big 12 is always weird,
right? That's the point I'm going to with it. But you know, it could be interesting. I think another big thing is Mississippi State's definitely got to cut down on the mistakes. I mean, in another lifetime, when I was down there for two other night games 2 years ago, but for I think it was Bama and Kentucky, it was usually mistakes that did stay in, and definitely a lot worse last year. And it's just, again, it's just, can they eliminate mistakes? And when they get opportunities, like a first and goal inside the five, can they get the most out of it?
Yeah. I know you've kind of already gone into it, but just what are you keeping an eye out for?
Let's see. If I'm thinking of one, I am keeping an eye out for, I think the first thing that comes to mind is just the defense, especially the ability to get off the field on third down and be able to prevent big plays. I think if they're able to do those two things, then they can keep this a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's always explosives and turnovers that can sort of tilt things when you're the underdog. State is the underdog in this one. No pun or wordplay intended. I don't know. Arizona State's a weird team, I just feel.
Yeah, you could argue that. But, again, there's enough coming back where they could make a run. And again, I don't know how much there is to take away from their season opener. I believe they got one of the traditional week one cupcakes. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, they only beat Northern Arizona by 19, so.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, just a strange team because they sort of just came from out of nowhere and I guess embarrassed the entire Big 12 by, I think they were like the last place preseason team.
I think so, yeah.
And then this year they're like, we're not going to do the preseason poll because our feelings are hurt or something.
Yeah. I'm also curious to see how their run game does because I'm sure that a lot of the guys up front could be very good, but when you lose a guy like Cam Scadabo, who does a lot not only for the run game, but also from what we heard of the locker room at large, it's not an easy thing to just replace, if at all. And I'm interested to see who they go to in those situations where he would have traditionally gotten the ball, because I know that was probably the thing that did State in the most, was that they couldn't stop the run. So I'm interested to see who gets the ball from the Sun Devils this time around.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I've ever seen a bigger example of he's got that dog in him than Cam Scadabo in the playoff game against Texas last year.
Dog or wolf? Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, last year's game against Arizona State, also strange. Arizona State led 27-3 at halftime. State tries to make a comeback bid, loses by 7. Sam Leavitt threw for about as many yards as he ran for. He went 10 for 20 for 69 yards. He ran 11 times for 68 yards. But, I mean, the story of that game, Cam Scadabo with a whopping 33 carries and 262 yards, but also somehow no touchdowns.
Yeah, definitely interesting. I wonder what kind of offense Arizona State's going to try and run, because if you don't have Cam Scadabo and you're on the road this time, do you start to throw the ball a little more, knowing that your quarterback and his top wide receiver are more proven guys, or do you just try and stick with last year's formula with guys who really weren't involved in the run game as much as they were last year?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But I mean, I think you're also going to find out the answer of, okay, you've sort of totally redone the entire defensive line. How is it going to hold up? You know, to me, this is the first like real stress test. Like, hey, you did well last week, but you know, here's what it's like with an actual offense and not one that's just been pieced together through the transfer portal from another team.
Yeah, no, here is a college football playoff and major conference championship level offense.
But yeah, I don't know. Is it just anything else you want to touch on?
That's about it, and I'm excited to see them play.
Yeah, and then I gave you a homework assignment over the weekend.
That you did. So I'll just get straight into it. I want to preface all this by saying I don't know how much you can take out of this game. It's Ole Miss against a Georgia State team who's and the game was over midway through the third quarter. Shout out TCU. But from what I was able to take away, I liked what I saw from Austin Simmons. I think he looked very comfortable. He looked very smooth. He looked, you know, there were times when he was running where it just looked like he was in a pretty good spot. And his throwing motion was really cool. But now I will say, I think that as the season goes on, Ole Miss is going to have to find better ways to protect him. And he's going to have to find better ways to handle what happens when he's under pressure. Because I think he threw two picks in either the first or second quarter, definitely the first half, that they weren't far apart from each other, where he just got under pressure, got rid of the ball almost as like, I need to get rid of this or I'm going to get hit hard. And it just landed in a Georgia State player's hands. So I think that as time goes on, they'll probably have to figure something like that. But other than that, again, I do think he played smooth and I liked the balance they showed offensively. You know, it was, you know, a little bit of run, a little bit of pass. I'm not sure I can label one guy as the guy who can step up on offense. Like, I don't know if the wide receiving core has its Trey Harris. I don't know if the running back room is going to have its Ulysses Bentley / Quinshon Judkins, if you want to go back even further. But, I did like what I saw from Lacey. Harrison Wallace was good. But, again, it's just who's going to be the guy from week to week, I think, probably is still as yet to be determined. And Michael Katz talked about this in his sidebar at djournal.com. You could find it there, where the defense looked better. And again, I don't know how, I don't think you can take away much from playing Georgia State, but the defense did look pretty good, you know, pretty impressive. They were able to make a lot of the plays they needed to when they needed to. Obviously, allowing only one touchdown goes a long way, but, you know, I solid, good, solid performance.
Yeah, so I was curious, because it always just seems to me like Lane Kiffin just puts up an endless number of points week one. By my math, Ole Miss has scored on average 53 points in their season openers under Lane Kiffin.
That checks out.
Granted, a couple of those are against like FCS opponents, but some of those opponents are, you know, teams with an actual like pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Like Florida, Louisville, and to a lesser extent, Georgia State. But I mean, still, I'd rather you play Georgia State than South Georgia State.
Yeah.
You know. But
better them than Cullen.
Yes, yes. But yeah, it's always a little bit of a learning experience with the new quarterback. Austin Simmons, according to PFF, three big-time throws, but also three turnover-worthy plays. Of course, having the two interceptions. So your eyes do not deceive you.
Yeah, I would hope not. Also, I don't know if it's going to be that much of a long-term thing, but I was interested in how they utilize Trinidad Chambliss. Shout out Ferris State, Division II dynasty. Because like they had him throw six passes for 59 yards, and he was actually coming in or pretty early on in the game to like spell Austin Simmons. I don't know if that was almost like a snap count thing, like you'd want to make sure Simmons doesn't get knocked around too much, so you want to keep him fresh. But I don't know, might be something, might be nothing. We'll see.
Yeah. Also, Trinidad Chambliss, great name,
isn't it? Sven, how was he not on the all-name team?
I don't know.
I didn't see him there. I mean, I know there's a lot of good names, but I feel like that's got to be under consideration.
But yeah, pretty dominant game from Ole Miss. Georgia State's like leading quarterback finished 4 for 11 for 52 yards, touchdown and an interception. That's a tough night at the office.
Yeah, 32.2 QBR. Not great.
That is, that's rough, buddy.
Yes, very much so. Shout out Dante Bosco.
But yeah, I don't know. Just anything else you want to point out?
In this particular game, no. But if we haven't talked, if we were going to talk about it already or not, I'm curious to see how they're doing against Kentucky. I'm not here to tell you Kentucky's a world beater. I hear that they're getting a little fed up with Mark Stoops. But, you know, it's a good chance to exercise at least one demon from last year, you know, just to kind of be able to go to Kroger Field and be able to settle things down and start the SEC schedule off with a pretty solid win.
I swear Kentucky every year, they're capable of not necessarily what I would call like upsets. I guess they are upsets, but there just always feels like there's a September game from Kentucky where at the end of the year you look back on and you're like, how did they pull that off? You know, I'm a little biased because usually it's them inexplicably beating Florida before losing most of their SEC games the rest of the way. But I don't know. There's just always, you know, I think there have been like a couple of years where they played Georgia close. And you're like, how? I don't know. Kentucky's just one of those teams. You don't get any points for beating them. You don't get, and you get a lot of points deducted for losing to them. But they, at times, they will give you a fight.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I think a lot of what Saturday is going to entail is probably just mental. It's going to be between the ears for these guys because it is largely a new roster. But I do feel like for those who were there last year, there's a sense of we got to take what happened last year and put it behind us with a dominant effort. And I'm interested to see how that translates, as well as the play calling. I think a lot of what happened last year with the play calling was suspect, especially towards the end of the game. But look, it is an opportunity to see see what their resolve is. Because like that's a big thing that you need to be a contending team, is to have resolve. I'm interested to see where that is for them.
Yeah, like last year, Kentucky started off SEC play by losing 31-6 to South Carolina and then giving Georgia a run for its money last year and then beating Ole Miss.
Yeah, why not? Just sure, why not?
Oh, and then after September, they lost every other SEC game the rest of the way.
Could they be one of those teams that's in a power conference and then starts the year off great because nobody knows a ton about them, but once film gets out, they just have a much harder time winning the rest of the way? Because I feel like a lot of conferences have teams like that.
I don't know, man. Look, I just think Kentucky's a weird team every year.
No, yeah, and I'm saying like other power conferences have teams like that. First of all, hey, folks, Big Ten fan here. These guys remind me of Maryland because a lot of times they'll come out of the gate strong, just like, oh, man, these guys are great, and they got these cool, funky helmets that look like the flag. Cutscene. They lose 6 of 7 to end the year, and they're playing a bowl game in Yankee Stadium.
Well, it's like every year they're like 5-1 and then get curb stomped by Penn State.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I feel like Kentucky, I see the similarities.
But yeah, it's Austin Simmons' first road start in the SEC. So that's really the thing I'm keeping an eye on. I'm not necessarily too concerned about them losing this game, but that's where I was at last year. By SP Plus, the projection is 32-16 Ole Miss with an 84% chance to win. But I think after last year, nobody at Ole Miss or a fan of Ole Miss wants to talk about projections or stats or probability.
No, they just want to go out and win.
Look, if I was an Ole Miss fan after last year, I wouldn't believe in coin tosses as well.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So we will see. To me, the patented Kentucky game is we like hanging out in the mud and we will take you down with us.
Yeah, that checks out.
Probably not going to win, but you will regret the last 3.5 hours of your life.
Right. Just kind of like we will make it harder for you to win. You will win, but it's going to be hard for you to do it.
You will win, but at what cost?
Time.
Yeah. My personal sanity. Yeah. I don't know. Next few weeks are weird for Ole Miss. You figure Kentucky and Arkansas shouldn't be the most challenging start to SEC play. And Tulane is, you know, as far as group of fives go, solid team.
Yeah.
Right. And then you get LSU afterwards. So it should be an interesting month for both teams or for Ole Miss. And I just think by the end of the month, we're going to learn a lot about Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
I think so. I mean, in the case of Ole Miss, you're getting them against you got three SEC teams, one of whom you could argue is the best team in the country up to this point. Tulane team who, you know, has been a pretty good program over the last couple of years, especially by group of five standards. They've been very good. And Mississippi State, with this stretch they have coming up, I don't know how much you'll be able to take out of Alcorn State, but I think once you get to Northern Illinois, people will have a better idea of, okay, this is what we are. Or I should say Tennessee, because they have that to end the month.
Yeah, to me, it's more so just the Arizona State game and Tennessee at the end of the month, and also Northern Illinois in the please don't lose to a MAC team at home for the second year in a row deal. So
that's very true. That being said, if that does happen, Notre Dame will be waiting for you to start a group therapy session.
To borrow a Rothsteinism, it's the epitome of brutality to pay someone to come into your stadium and beat you.
Yeah, so losing a bye game, that's it.
Yes, exactly. And then, of course, I should dial it back with the NIU disrespect, because they're soon going to be a Mountain West school. Because when I think of Northern Illinois, I think of both the mountains and the West.
Well, listen, when you have the pedigree of guys who have come through that school, like Jordan Lynch, it's very hard to resist that if you're a school looking to add somebody, if you're a conference looking to add another school.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about?
That's all for that. Now, as Brendan said, I will be at State ASU on Saturday. I will be live tweeting that if you want to follow along to that. Follow my Twitter, JS Murphy Media. I'll be live tweeting the game, and you'll be able to find my game story up there as well, which can also take you to mine and the sports department's content at djournal.com.
Before I plug my stuff, Vanelli's Bistro is turning 50 and would like to thank the people of Tupelo for your support all these years. We look forward to the next 50 years. Vanelli's Bistro is located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. Shout out to Vanelli's for sponsoring the podcast. And if you like not only Mississippi State and Ole Miss football, but also charts and spreadsheets and I don't know, plots with colors, you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can find all of our coverage at djournal.com and on Twitter at djournalsports. James, am I forgetting anything?
That's about it.
Cool. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a good one.